Who do you think you are? Has anybody ever heard those words before? I remember the first time, at least in my, you know, my memory, to hear those words. It came from my father, because he had told me to do something, and I, being the fine, upstanding, respectable young man that I was, I bowed up and I challenged him. And he responded with, "Who do you think you are? I'm the father. You're the son. What I tell you goes." I was sassing him. And he responded, well, appropriately, by putting me in my place. But the thing is he didn't treat me like a stranger. He treated me like a son. In our text from Job today, we have a very similar situation. Job has just challenged God. Job has just effectively bowed up to God and said, "Hey, God, where are you? What are you doing here? What's going on?" Job has had all of these things come down upon him, trial and tribulation, one after another after another. Job's friends, as we know, you know, the unfaithful people that they were trying to give him some answers, but none of them were simply saying, "You know, Job, it's God's will. Turn to God in prayer." Instead, they blamed it on this or that or the other. Well, Job remained faithful this whole time, and finally he cries out to God, and he's like, "God, how long? How long can I go through this? When are you going to intervene?" And while God did answer him with this, "Who do you think you are?" kind of response, you know, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, I'm God, you're not. I've got you taken care of." The fact is that Job cried out to God. That was the right move. Instead of blaming circumstance, instead of blaming his neighbors, instead of blaming ill fortune, instead of blaming himself, Job turns to God. He cries out to God in desperation, and maybe he didn't cry out saying exactly what he should have said, okay, fine. But the fact is his target was the right target. When he was in distress, when he was alone, when he could bear no more, he turned to God. And that, whether the words were correct or not, that was the right place for him to cry out. That was a cry of faithfulness. We see this happen with the water, out on the water with Peter as well. You know, Peter's out there. He steps out boldly onto the water. He's brash. He's quick to just jump right in. And then all of a sudden, you know, the water and the wind and the waves, and he gets scared and he starts to sink. And he cries out for Jesus to help him. He didn't try to swim. He didn't try to go back to the boat. He didn't call out to his 11 compatriots that were back there in the boat to throw him a line like a good fisherman would. Instead, no, he calls out to Jesus. That's a good response. And Jesus answers him, and okay, you have little faith. But the fact is that he had faith. He had faith enough to be calling out to Jesus in the first place. He was calling the right place. And just like God had done for Job, God answered Job. Jesus answers Peter. You see a trend here? My earthly father answered me when I bowed up to him, when I sassed, when I said the wrong stuff, but at least I was targeting the right one. I was targeting my authority figure, my father. He answered, he responded, and he took care of me. And when Job kind of bowed up against God and calls out to him, cries out in the midst of his situation, God answers, God responds to him, and God takes care of and he delivers him. And when Peter cries out in fear, desperation, for Jesus to help him, Jesus answers him. And Jesus does, in fact, rescue him. God's here to answer you too. He's here to rescue you as well. We just witnessed a great little thing a few minutes ago. It's the best illustration for a sermon any pastor can ask for. Baptism. Little Lucas was baptized into God's family. He was made through God's word into a righteous child of Christ, a righteous child of God. He was given faith through the Holy Spirit, faith that maybe he doesn't know how to use yet. And I don't know, if I go through and I ask the crowd here, maybe most of us don't really know how to use our faith quite well yet either. Maybe we've got to wait until the resurrection before we get that down. But the fact is we have been given that faith through the Holy Spirit. And so when we cry out to God, he doesn't hear us as a stranger. He hears us as his child. And just as God has given his promise to little Lucas to hear him and to answer him and to deliver him, God has promised to you as well to hear you, to answer you, to deliver you. As St. Paul explains to the congregation at Rome about faith, he says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is awesome news. And then he goes on to explain this mystery that we call faith. How does it work? He says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, but with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Basically, he encourages the congregation at Rome to put their heart faith into action, to call out to God, to confess Jesus Christ to their neighbor. Basically, put your money where your mouth is to vocalize the faith. Continues. He says, for Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and the Greek, basically between the one who is brought up, born into the faith, and the one who comes in into the faith, you know, later in life. There's no distinction. If you come in through Jesus, that's all that matters. The blood of Christ is all that matters that makes you his child. He does all the doing. Says, the same is Lord, is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all those who call on him. Verse 13, and this is, you know, where the money is on this one. Says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God be praised. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We could talk to little Lucas's parents and see if he's calling on anybody's name yet. At 2 a.m, I'm sure he cries out sometimes. You may not understand what he's saying, but he's crying out. He wants stuff. And because they are his parents, they answer, they respond, and they give him what he needs. And because he has now been made a child of the one true God, when he cries out, even when he doesn't know what to cry out, and we've all been there, we've all been in such anguish, such pain, such just discombobulation that we didn't even know what to cry out to God, but we cried out in our hearts, God answers. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and that's what counts. Yes, we are talking eternal life. We are talking what happens at the resurrection. But we're not just talking about what happens at the resurrection. We're talking about the here and the now as well. We've got really good examples from Scripture for that today. Job called out in the here and the now. Peter called out in the here and the now. We know St. Paul also called out in the here and the now. And each and every one of you, I'm sure, call out to God over and over again in the here and the now. Whether it be trial and tribulation that are life and death, or whether it be simply things like broken relationships, or work problems, or money problems, or church problems, whatever it is, the correct thing to do is to call on the name of the Lord, to cry out. I'll be honest, sometimes I cry out in the wrong way. Sometimes I cry out into God and I say, God, here, fix this way. God, if you'll only do this, things will be better. Well, that's not really a good cry, but it's a cry to the right spot. Because God knows what He's doing and God's got a plan. So even if I'm still being like that little child who originally sassed his earthly father, maybe once in a while I call out to God in that same way and I try to tell God what to do. Well, as long as I'm calling out to God, God is going to answer faithfully. Even if my call isn't the right call, as long as my target's the right target. He who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This day, little Lucas has been brought into the family of God. This day, you have heard the saving words of God in His word read, in His word proclaimed, in His absolution given. You are a child of God Most Holy. Call on Him in and out of season. Call on Him at the day of the resurrection. And call on Him today. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You as children. Dear children, not always knowing what to say, not always knowing what to cry out. But dear Lord, thankfully, through the faith given to us through the Holy Spirit, we call out to You. Please, dear Lord, hear our faithful cry. Answer us, respond to us. Help us to know that You listen and that we are Yours. Deliver us not only at the final trumpet sound, but deliver us today into Your loving, caring, and fatherly hands. All this and everything else we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.